set it up real nicely for me so I didn't have to do anything except push the button, Max. Excellent. Okay, so today's portion is Parshat Teruma, which means portion, except no, it doesn't. Teruma is a very special word, and it's one everybody should be familiar with. It is one of those words in Hebrew that has a special significance that portion just doesn't have in English. Teruma is a portion that is dedicated to the temple. Teruma is a portion that is dedicated to the temple. And it's a portion of anything that is dedicated to the temple. Doesn't matter what it is, if it's dedicated to the temple, it's dedicated to God, it's Teruma. So this week's portion is talking about the construction of the Mishkan. Okay? The tabernacle. So here we are, hanging out at Sinai. And Moses goes up, and there's a bit of a ruckus. Okay, we actually are able to observe the connection between the heavens and the earth. All right? And there's a dark cloud and lightnings and you name it. It's very upsetting. Don't touch the mountain. If you do, you're going to be killed. So don't go up there. Everybody is supposed to have had washed their clothes, be ritually clean before this. Okay, so we're all set. We've come out of Egypt. And God brings Moses up on Sinai and gives us Torah. And this is contained in the Torah. This portion, again, is contained in the Torah at Sinai. That there's stuff you're supposed to give. So here we are going to build the Mishkan. And with the materials to build the Mishkan have to come from somewhere. Okay, and who do they come from? Us. That come from us. Big shock. Okay? So we donate these things to the synagogue. Right? We donate it to the Mishkan. Okay? And since the synagogue is the commemoration of the Mishkan, stuff you donate to the synagogue is in the same vein. It's not exactly the same thing. But it's in the same vein, very much. I bring that up because all of the improvements that you're seeing did not come out of synagogue funds. This was all donations. This is all donations, above and beyond. Okay? Which very much is like the Teruma that is being spoken of here. The Teruma, all of this stuff that's being donated so that we can build the Mishkan, the gold, the silver, the tachelet, the tolat thread, the red, the scarlet thread, right? The argaman, the purple thread. For all of this stuff is being donated above and beyond anything that you're supposed to give to the Mishkan anyway. Or you're supposed to give to the Leviim, right? So it's above and beyond tithes. It's above and beyond second tithes. It's above and beyond third tithes. It's above and beyond Bikurim, first fruits. It's above and beyond all of that. And we're giving it. Why? Because we've got to build a, you know, God said build some kind of Mishkan here. So God, Moses says, hey, looks around, Bezalel, you're a good guy and you know how to build stuff. It's like me pointing at Mario or PJ or, you know, that actually know how to do stuff. I can talk. But when it comes to doing stuff, we need somebody else. You know, we just do, yes. Yeah, the voice of experience is exactly right. We have lessons in frustration when I try to do things that are inherently obvious to everybody in the neighborhood. Okay, so this is Bezalel. You know what you're doing. You're a guy who's skilled in this stuff. You do it. And so God fills Bezalel with the Holy Spirit. For those of you who have been taught that the first time anybody was filled with the Holy Spirit was in Acts chapter 2, dead wrong. Torah says Bezalel is filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Divine inspiration. God tells him what to do. God tells him what to do. He's a craftsman, so he inherently knows. And so God fills him with the Holy Spirit. He knows what to do. You know, when God tells me what to do, it's generally not to build things. As again, my beautiful bride will attest to. Okay? But Bezalel is filled with the Holy Spirit. And he knows that. Now, he is given general instructions that are written down. But all of the detail about how to build the Mishkan is not written down. It's not written down. How does Bezalel know how to build the Mishkan? How far in front of the tent is the altar supposed to be? Right? What's the angle of the ramp? Is the ramp actually supposed to be connected to the altar or not? Okay? The hides that are used as a covering of the building, of the tent, what color are they supposed to be? None of these things are specified. How does Bezalel know how to do them? In today's portion, it says, God tells him. And he tells Bezalel these things. Again, Torah teaches us that he is supposed to teach them. He's supposed to teach them. Why? Because Bezalel is not going to live forever, and we're not going to have Torah die with Bezalel. So he's supposed to teach people, craftsmen, after him, exactly how God told him how to build the Mishkan. And this will pass from generation to generation to generation. Okay? How is this passed? Are we supposed to write a manual? What do you think this is, the Marine Corps? Right? You know? How to disassemble and clean your weapon in 4,673 pages. Right? No. No. Bezalel's not supposed to write this down. He's supposed to pass it orally. So God gives oral instruction to Bezalel. What's the word for instruction in Hebrew? Torah. Torah. This is an example of oral Torah being given to Bezalel and then passed orally. It's not written. Okay? So when we get down to Solomon and he's going to build a temple, we know all of his stuff about it. Why? Because it was passed orally from the time of Bezalel. Excuse me. Okay? So, all of this stuff, all of this teruma that we have donated, right? The gold, the silver, the copper, is donated to Bezalel, and Bezalel organizes teams of craftsmen that he knows to build this stuff. They're to build a copper laver, right? That sits somewhere between the altar and the tent. Where does the copper laver sit? And don't say between the altar and the tent. We know that, but where? Left side, right side, way over on the edge, right up against the altar, right up against the tent. Where? Well, Bezalel knows because God told him. Right? And then you're supposed to wash before you come up on the altar. You're supposed to come up on the altar, you wash. That's what the priest did. That's what the copper laver was for. All right? How are you supposed to wash? You're supposed to wash your hands. Okay? Sort of get them, the fingertips wet. Up to here. Got to make sure everything's wet up to here. Torah doesn't say. So how did we know what to do? God told Moses. Okay? And what's the answer? The answer is, when you're doing washing for ritual cleanness, you make sure that everything gets wet up to the wrist. That's the washing of hands. Okay? One of the reasons we do three times, and that's just the minhag, you don't have to do three times. But one of the reasons you do three times, if you're going to do three times, is to make sure that you get wet all the way up to the wrist. Okay? Under rings, whatever. Come on. And before you come up on the altar, which is what the bima symbolizes, wash your hands to be ritual clean. Okay? Ritual cleanness is something that we haven't really thought about much, and it's very much a part of who we are as a people, and it's involved with teruma, because if you're going to be dealing with teruma, you need to be ritually clean, because teruma is stuff that's to the temple. So not only is it stuff like donations of cloth or thread or gold or silver, it's not only stuff like that, copper, it's also food. Anytime you make a sacrifice that you eat, or somebody eats, before you eat the sacrifice, before you eat the offering, which almost all of the offerings are eaten by somebody, you need to be ritually clean. And Torah teaches us this. Right? So, if you're going to eat the Passover offering, the Passover lamb, you need to be ritually clean, because this is something which is dedicated to the temple. You bring the lamb in, the shechita is done, the nikur is done. You roast the lamb, you got roast lamb, it's nice. They give it back to you, you bring it home, and that's the core of the Passover Seder. The purpose of the Passover Seder, right? And it's food that's been dedicated at the temple. It's the sacrifice. So before you eat that, you make sure that your hands are washed. That's why at the Passover Seder, we do the ritual washing of hands. Not because our hands should be clean, although our hands should be clean, but you should clean your hands before you do the ritual washing, because this is symbolic of being ritually clean before God so that you can eat the offering from the temple. That's why we do that during the Passover Seder. Why do we wash hands before we eat challah Friday night? Or Saturday morning. Wash hands before we do that? For the same reason, the challah symbolizes the showbread that was eaten. Stuff that was dedicated to the temple. Okay? Is challah dedicated to the temple? No, but we don't have a temple. So the challah commemorates what the food that was dedicated to the temple. So we wash our hands to remind ourselves. Okay, do you have to wash your hands every time you eat a meal? No. You know, every time you're gonna pop some bomba in your mouth, you don't have to wash your hands. All of this stuff comes around the idea of donating, just freely donating, sometimes called a free will offering, right? You give stuff. You give it. Why? Well, because God said to build the Mishkan. God said to build a temple, right? And here we've got the next best thing. That's what synagogue is. It's not the temple. It's not the Mishkan. It's the next best thing. It's a commemoration, right? And so we donate. And so as we donate, it starts to look nicer. We donate a little more, it looks nicer. Right? We donate a little more, it looks nicer. And it's part of what we want to do, is glorify God by having it look nice and giving of ourselves to do that. Well, as we give teruma, as we give things to the Mishkan, as we give things to the temple, as we give things to the synagogue in commemoration, we remember that the purpose of this How do I put this? It's often taught and said, and it's sloppy theology, that you're giving it to God. You're not. You're not. When you give tithes, are you giving it to God? Said all the time. And are you giving it to God? No, you're not. When you give second tithe, are you giving that to God? Who benefits from second tithe? We do. That's the money we use to go to Jerusalem. Right? How about third tithe? Does it go to God? No, it goes to the poor. Right? It's the old joke. A priest, a rabbi, and a minister are talking about the tithes. And the priest says, I collect the tithes, I draw a circle in the dirt, I take the tithes in a basket, I throw it up in the air. And whatever lands inside the circle goes to the church. Whatever lands outside of the circle is for me. The minister says, I too draw a circle, and I throw it in the air, and whatever lands inside the circle goes to me. And whatever lands outside the circle goes to the church. Rabbi says, I draw a circle, and I throw it up in the air, and whatever God wants, he'll take. And if it comes back down to the ground, it's for me. And the reality is, does God benefit from teruma? Does God benefit from tithes, from the first fruits? Does God benefit from any of these things? The answer is no. Who benefits? We do. The nation of Israel benefits by giving the tithes according to God's instruction. When the Mishkan is built according to God's instruction, because we have donated, we benefit. Doesn't help God, helps us. When the temple was built because of the donations and the work, God isn't any better off. We're better off. We are better off. Because we are doing as God instructed, we're better off. Okay? And because people have the physical attachment that they can see and feel and touch and hear of us doing what God said we should do, they are more inspired to do what God said they should do. Right? So it spreads beyond us. The giving of teruma, the giving of that portion to God, is linked inexorably to the giving of the Besorah of the Good News. It does exactly the same thing. It does the same thing. It raises people's God consciousness so that they, through your example, through your words, through your donation, so that they can see how important God is and come into the kingdom. And come into the kingdom. The Besorah really is good news. It really is teruma. It really is what is donated. Okay? So what's the opposite? What's the opposite? Okay? If you've studied Aristotelian logic, you know that not giving is not the opposite. That's not contradictory, that's contrary. It's different. The opposite is giving badly. Bad stuff. How do you give bad stuff? Well, if you got Besorah, good news, then bad news is that would be giving bad news would be an example. So what is it that we're supposed to watch out for as far as this is concerned? What does Scripture tell us? Let's look for a minute at one of the letters of Peter. Now, Peter was is an extraordinary scriptural scholar and knew an awful lot about the oral law as it had been, was passed down as well. So if we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8. So finally, all of you be one in mind and feeling. Love as brothers and be compassionate and humble-minded. Here's the lead up. Not repaying evil with evil or insult with insult, but on the contrary, with blessing. For it is to this that you have been called, so that you may receive a blessing. For whoever wants to love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and chase after it. For Adonai keeps his eyes on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of Adonai is against those who do evil things. So the opposite of giving good is giving bad. Right? The opposite of giving good is giving bad. Now we sometimes call this Lashon Hara, right? The evil tongue. But there's actual several categories. One of it is just lying. You don't lie, right? Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't lie. Okay? Then comes Lashon Hara, where you're telling the truth, but the intention is to hurt. The intention is to hurt. And gossip falls into this. Don't do it. Just don't do it. If you got a problem with somebody, you go to them and talk to them. Work it out. If you're judging somebody else on their behavior, take the log out of your own eye first. Right? Talmud teaches us, if your father sins, do not say, Father, you are sinning. Say instead, Father, this is what Torah says. Our job is not to judge others, it's to educate. And Lashon Hara comes under this, absolutely. When we close the Amidah, you can look in your prayer book. Look in your Siddur to page 500. And 55. Elohai Nitzur. We pray this at the close of the sacrificial ceremony, which is what the Amidah is. My God, guard my tongue from evil and my lips from deceitful speech. Okay, which came first? This or what Peter said? Who cares? At the end of the day, who cares? The point is, it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same sentiment. Okay? And it's expounded on. Okay? So, the expounding is really referenced when Peter says, keep my lips from deceitful speech. Okay? Whether this was written or not is not important. What is important is that this idea was out there. And the idea is completed in this prayer for within the Amidah. And the whole thing, the whole concept is being espoused by Peter in his letter. It's a reminder. To those who curse me, let my soul be silent. May my soul be to all like the dust. Now, this is hugely important. This is hugely important. Right? In our society today, this has been forgotten completely. Right? We are walking around waiting to be offended. Right? I'm for Israel. Oh, that's offensive. I'm offended. You know, I eat kosher. Oh, I'm offended that you would do that. Right? You follow Torah. Oh, that's offensive. you know, that's, you know, no, you can't do that. That's offensive. It's in our heart. We don't have to do that. What's my response? Insult for insult? No. No. Teach and let my soul be like dust. Don't be offended. Somebody says something nasty to you. It's incumbent on us to not be offended. Don't do it. And it'll end. It'll end. If they say something nasty to you and you say something nasty back, on it goes. It's perpetrated. You want to put an end to it? Let your soul be like dust. Why does it say dust? Afar. Why does it say dust? It doesn't say dirt. It doesn't say let your soul be like nothing. It says let your soul be like dust. What's special about dust? That is the stuff we are made of. Not dirt, not clay. Torah says, Genesis, that we're made from dust. Dust is very special stuff. Right? But can you insult dust? No. What's lower than dust? Nothing. And the one thing about dust is it blows away. It just goes away. Okay? My mother, God bless her, may she be remembered, used to have a bunch of Southern sayings. One of them was, like water off a duck's back. You just let it go. We used to teach, sticks and stones will break my bones and words will never hurt me. And we forgot. We don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. How many of us catch flack for attending a Messianic synagogue? I assume virtually everybody, at one time or another. That's okay. It's all right. Right? Do I have to insult them back? No. You know, what you do with pagan, and it... Stop it. Stop it. Okay, somebody wants to do Christmas? Show them what Scripture says, and then, you know, it's between them and God. And if their heart's in the right place, that's one step, that's one thing in their favor. And then they want to have a Christmas tree. Have a Christmas tree. You want Easter. Easter. Is Easter in Scripture? No. We got Easter coming up. How many people left paganism and came into faith in Yeshua because of Easter? Okay? Am I going to do Easter? No. It's not scriptural. I'll show you. It's not scriptural. You want to do Easter and you love God through doing Easter? Do Easter. You know? Cadbury Bunny, the whole thing. If you want to do it. If you're right. Because that's between you and God. I'll show you where it has nothing to do with stuff in Scripture. Okay? And then when I've done that, I walk away. So if you want to insult me for doing Pesach, let it go. Should I turn around and say what you're doing is wrong? And the answer is, yeah, I'll show you in Scripture. After that, no. Don't be insulting. Don't do it. It hurts you. It hurts you. And this is what Peter is saying. Why? Because Peter knows this stuff. Knows our law. Right? How many of you taught that Peter was a fisherman and that's it? Okay. Guess what? Every one of them had a job. What was Paul? This is the tent maker. We all had, like me, I've got a job. I'm following in large footsteps. Footprints. Okay? You can tell by Peter's writing how closely tied he was to the oral tradition. Sorry, said I wouldn't use that word anymore. To the oral law. Okay? Because he does things like this all through. In all of his letters. He keeps pointing at stuff that we know exists already. Okay? So, The opposite of giving teruma is giving insult. Right? The opposite of giving teruma is giving insult. So do give teruma and let your soul be like dust to everybody. Don't return insult. Just let it be.